today we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, but we will be looking at it on the screen as well. And the church throughout the world is celebrating. Is celebrating a season right now called Lent, and it is a period of 40 days, excluding Sundays, of prayer and fasting and preparation before Easter. Now, historically, Lent is something that has been observed by more of the traditional churches, like the Roman Catholic Church and Orthodox churches, and even maybe more older mainline churches or established churches such as Presbyterian Church and Methodist Church and the like. The evangelical churches like ourselves, Baptist-type churches, historically haven't observed Lent because it was regarded as too Catholic of a thing. But what I've noticed over the past several years or more is that more and more churches and individuals have begun to integrate Lent into their life. And like I said, Lent is a time of prayer and fasting. And I actually like this tagline on this particular slide, which says Lent making room for God. And I think that's what Lent is really all about, taking some extra time, these 40 days, to make room for God. Now, whether our church doesn't officially celebrate Lent, probably most from the Chinese congregation maybe don't even know what it is, because it's something that I've talked about here in our English service. But in any case, I think that it's that whether we officially observe it or not, the principle of taking time to focus on God, to fast, to sacrifice, to prepare for Easter, I think, is a biblical thing. And so we don't have to necessarily be doing a Lenten fast, but we can still learn principles of what it means to dedicate ourselves before the Lord. Now, historically, the emphasis of Lent have been threefold, and that is to give, to pray, and to fast. And last week we spent a little time in our message talking about fasting, and we discussed the passage where the disciples of John the Baptist approached Jesus and was wondering why Jesus' disciples didn't fast, but why they and the other religious leaders and people at the time did fast. And Jesus said his maybe familiar lines that those will not fast when the bridegroom is present. And so we learned that fasting, maybe in our especially American context, is a neglected thing, but it is a necessary practice. And so we talked a little bit about fasting last week. And today we're going to talk a little bit about prayer, and that is where our passage comes from in Colossians. Now, my earliest remembrances of prayer were growing up, and I grew up in the Catholic Church, but one of the things that my family did regularly was to pray. In our big Catholic family, my mom's side of the family is Irish Catholic. There was eight in her family. I have 30 first cousins, and so we have very big family gatherings. But admittedly, my family, my parents, were the least observant Christians of the whole family. Most of my aunts and uncles and the like, they were very strict Catholics. I wouldn't call ourselves necessarily that strict, but we usually went to church. But we definitely prayed every night, and so that's a memory that I have, and I remember especially that we would pray for our relatives and for our aunts and uncles and grandparents and the like, and especially as they were getting older in age, we would pray for their health and things like that. And so that is something that kind of is ingrained in my mind, and what we seek to continue to do with our family in praying with Zach every night. And so I hope prayer is a part of your life and family life. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that and hopefully be encouraged by prayer to pray more. And our theme for today is to seek to become a person of prayer. And I think that all of us can learn to grow in the area of prayer. I don't think there's probably too many people out there saying, well, I'm a prayer master. Learn from me. I think all of us in some ways can learn to make prayer an ever greater part of our lives and to become even people who make prayer such a part of our lives that in a sense we become people of prayer. It's not just people who do prayer, but becoming people who pray regularly and devotedly. And so our passage today that we'll learn a little bit more about that is from Colossians 4, 2 through 4, and so let's read that together. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, for most of us, we've probably heard many messages on prayer, many Sunday school lessons. It's a challenge, I think, to speak about prayer because there's probably not much that I can say that maybe you don't already know. But maybe we can learn a thing or two, or especially my hope is that we can be challenged to grow in our prayer life and to become people of prayer. And so the first thing that we see, the focus of this passage is prayer. And what is prayer? Well, there's many definitions of prayer, but the one that I chose to focus on today, or at least one that I chose to focus on today, is Billy Graham's quote, which he says, prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. And so in prayer, we come before the Lord and we converse and we communicate. And part of God's communication to us is also meditating and spending time reflecting on His Word. But also in prayer, I think oftentimes God can speak to us, maybe not in an audible voice, but He can give us some directions. Maybe sometimes He will begin leading us on a path or a journey, like Lee Dong and his family experienced as God began to lead him along the lines of full-time ministry and being equipped for ministry. Sometimes we can get impressions in our heart. Sometimes in our prayer we can actually receive the lack of peace. I remember one time when I was living in New York City, I was seeking to make arrangements to have another roommate and to get a place. And I basically made the agreement with the landlord and just felt no peace about it. And so like the next day I had to kind of back out on everything. And actually it worked out because then the landlord really wanted me, so he gave me a much better price. And that was maybe the thing that I was least at peace about was it was a place I couldn't really afford. But in my prayer, I felt unsettled. And so God was speaking to me in that way. And so God can speak to us often even in our time of prayer. Now there's a great Christian preacher from the late 19th century by the name of Dwight L. Moody. There's a school in Chicago called Moody Bible Institute, and it's named after him. And he was especially a great evangelist, preached the gospel, led many hundreds of thousands of people to know the Lord. And there's a story told about him that he was on a missions trip, on a travel to Scotland, where he was speaking at churches and sharing the gospel. And at one point, he was giving a lesson on prayer in a church. And there was a lot of school children that were there, and he rhetorically asked, what is prayer? And when he said, what is prayer, almost every kid in the church raised their hand. And so I'm not sure if we would see that from our kids, but these were enthusiastic, Bible-literate children. And so one of the children he called upon, and then he recited the words to a catechism. A catechism is a series of question and answers that is used as a tool to teach children. And the ones that Presbyterian and Reformed churches have used throughout the centuries is called a Westminster catechism, or Westminster. They have a long and a short version. And in the catechism, there is a question, number 98, what is prayer? And so these children all knew the answer to it. And so when Pastor Moody called on one of the children, the child said exactly this: prayer is an offering up of our desires to God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And so I don't think I could have come up with a better answer than that. And this child, probably fifth or sixth grade, was able to give this answer. And I think this is probably one of the better answers that we can give in terms of what is prayer. And if we kind of unpack it, it's offering up our desires to God. We have a lot of desires. We do have a lot of needs and concerns and wants. And we give them up to God for things agreeable to his will. And so I like that phrase, because prayer isn't just bringing our selfish desires, but as we seek the Lord in prayer, we want to seek God's will, what he wants for our lives, and then learn, and he can guide us to pray accordingly. So our goal isn't just to pray for our desires, but our desires that are in line with the will of God. In the name of Christ, with confession of our sins, and so we want to come before the Lord in prayer with a pure heart, and we know that we can receive forgiveness because of the blood of the cross, and thankful acknowledgement for his mercies. And so we're coming to the Lord in thanksgiving, knowing that it is he who gives us all good things. And so this little child knew the answer. Maybe it's an answer that we need to memorize and reflect on as well. But nonetheless, that is prayer. And we see that prayer was an important part of Jesus' life. We talked a little bit last week that Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, spent 40 days in the wilderness in prayer and fasting. And Jesus often went to lonely places to pray. And his disciples were so impressed, maybe, with the prayer life of Jesus that they asked Jesus, how can we pray? Teach us how to pray. And then that is when Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer, which is a model of prayer that we can all use. So what is prayer? It's offering up our desires to God for things agreeable to his will. Now, in what manner should we pray? Well, the Apostle Paul said that we are to devote ourselves to prayer. Now, what does it mean to devote? Well, I kind of looked at a bunch of definitions and kind of came to this definition. And to devote is to wholly give yourself, your time, or your energy to something, spending all of your time or energy on said passion. And so when it comes to prayer, prayer is wholly giving yourselves your time or your energy to prayer, spending all or most of your time on prayer. And so, of course, we do have jobs and we do have school, but even when we're in the midst of our busyness, we can hopefully have an attitude of prayer and even thinking of God occasionally throughout the day. Now, when I think of devotion, I think there's many different ways that people are devoted to a number of things. This is American football team. This isn't the team. This is the fans, the supporters of the Oakland Raiders. Oakland Raiders are known as one of the more fans that are just crazy for their team. Their team hasn't been that good in many years, but as you see, these men, I think, spent a lot of time putting on makeup. Most men would not want to confess that they put on makeup, but for the sake of the team, they gladly put on makeup and dressed up in order to support. Now, my team is the Green Bay Packers, which is a team from Wisconsin. We don't get so dressed up. Some people put they call them cheese heads. So there's a slice of cheese hat that people put on their heads and support. But one of the things that's interesting in Wisconsin is that pretty much everybody supports the football team. And so it's not just these men who are, you would expect to be into football, but younger children up to older aunts and uncles and grandparents all like and support the Packers. And so I remember one of my aunts at the time, she was probably 81 years old, and I got in a conversation with her, and the Packers had just played, I think, the Minnesota Vikings. And she was just going on, talking about the game. It's like, I'm so glad we beat the Vikings. I hate the Vikings. And coming out of the mouth of like an 81-year-old, fairly frail woman was a little bit startling maybe, but that is life in Wisconsin, people love their team. And so it's not just the young, but it's the old as well. Of course, we think of devotion in terms of love and couples getting to know each other, dating, eventually being committed in marriage. Another thing that people are devoted to, especially young men, would be gaming. This is actually a picture from an article from the New York Times, I just think earlier this week. The reason why gaming was in the New York Times was because there was a gamer who passed away last week. Apparently, he had been gaming for a good part of a week, and in the final part of his gaming experience or tournament that he was part of, he had been awake for over 24 hours. He hadn't eaten. He hadn't obviously slept well. And I don't know if this gentleman had an underlying condition or whatever, but he basically dropped dead at his computer screen, or screens probably. So this man was so devoted that it actually cost him his life. Now, for those of you who might be into gaming, please get enough sleep and something to eat and the like. But that is an extreme example, but of course there are many people that that are really into gaming. I'm a little bit too old for this. I grew up in the era of pinball, so we didn't even have these type of these doohickeys and the like. But nonetheless, these are examples of devotion, and in the same way that many of these people devote themselves to various leisure activities and the love of their lives, so too we're called to devote ourselves to the Lord and devote ourselves to prayer. And then finally, it says devote yourselves to prayer being watchful and thankful. So what does it mean to be watchful? Well, I think it means to be alert to our circumstances, and it means to be vigilant. Well, what does vigilant mean? I like this word vigilant. Vigilant is an adjective which is defined keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. And I think that when it comes to prayer, I would add the word opportunities. And so as we are seeking to live our life before God, we are to keep careful watch for dangers, difficulties, problems, even opportunities that God can lead us to pray and to give our life to Him and to give our needs and desires to Him. Probably the illustration that I always think of the most when I think of vigilance, when I think of being alert, is meerkats. There was a documentary show that ran for many years called Meerkat Manor. I used to like to watch that, and it was about there's clans, there's families of meerkats. They're in the African plains, and they're actually quite small little creatures. And as you can guess, if you're in Africa and you're a small creature, you are food for predators. And so these meerkats have to be vigilant at all times. They have to carefully watch out or they might get eaten. And so as you see this little group, and usually in maybe a clan of about 30 meerkats, there'll be different groups that are at different parts of their... they basically have underground holes and caves, and so they're at different locations, and they're all looking out while the rest of the family is foraging for food or taking care of their young and the like. And so they have to look up in the air because there might be predatory birds, maybe like eagles and hawks. They have to look on the ground because there could be snakes. They have to look also, you know, on the horizon and in bushes because there could be leopards or there could be lions or hyenas or anything. Pretty much most of the animal world is looking to eat them for lunch or maybe dinner. And so they have to be very vigilant. And so they have this whole pattern of watching out as a group. And they have actually quite an advanced system of communication, so then they can let each other know when there is danger, and then they can all get into their holes. And so as the meerkats need to be vigilant around their surroundings, so too we're called to be watchful, we're called to be alert to our surroundings and our circumstances, and use that watchfulness to lead us to pray about the various circumstances in our lives. And we're also called here to give thanks. And I think that that is an important aspect of prayer. Of course, we want to come before the Lord in humility, and we want to come before Him sacrificially, but we also want to come before the Lord thankfully. Because thankfulness, I think, is just a means of us letting know that we do, no matter how God answers, maybe we don't get the answer that we might want, but we can be thankful nonetheless that God is watching over us and God is looking out for our needs and God is answering according to His will and desire in our life, His good and perfect will. And so we're called to give thanks in the midst of our prayer. So, praying. How can we apply prayer to our lives? Well, of course, to pray more, but I think that we can pray in a number of contexts. As I mentioned before, we should, hopefully, as families, pray together. This year, our theme for our church is called Family Matters. And so I think it's appropriate in the observance of our theme that we do seek to grow more in our prayer with each other, with our family. And we can have maybe prayer times, you know, every evening, but also take the opportunity to pray many other times throughout the day, depending upon what the needs may be. And so I think that can be an encouragement. Also, I think that praying in the context of our church body is also something that we're called to do. And so today we're having our Mission Sunday, and afterwards for our English service, after the service, there'll be the Chinese service. We'll have our official commissioning for Li Dong and his family. But in the English side, for at least our high school and our adult classes, we're going to meet here and we're going to pray for a number of our missionaries and cover them in prayer. We do have prayer meeting every Wednesday at our church, and so that's something that we encourage our members to be a part of. But even beyond an official prayer meeting, many of us are part of fellowships and Bible studies, and part of those can and should be times of prayer where we're praying for each other and for the needs of the church and of our world. And finally, we're called to pray individually. We're called to spend time alone with God regularly, giving our heart's desire unto Him, seeking to become people of prayer. Now, what are some things that we can pray about? Well, the Apostle Paul goes on and says, basically, by the way, while you're praying, while you're devoting yourselves to prayer, he says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And so the Apostle Paul is asking a prayer request that God would open a door for the message, for the message of the gospel. And we see even here maybe another embedded prayer request. It says he's in chains, and so there's difficulties he's facing. And so I think the one of the calls of Paul to the church in Colossae is to pray for his circumstance, that God would not only use his circumstance for the furtherance of the gospel and open up doors to share while he's in prison, but also that God would release him from prison so that he can continue his missionary journeys. And so we're called to pray in a number of areas, and if we were in a Sunday school class, we could probably unpack this a little more, but several that I thought of is pray for missions, and that's essentially what the church was called to pray for Paul, to pray for him, and that is the manner of which we pray for Li Dong and many other of our missionaries. Facebook prayers. I put this down because many of us are on social media. Could be WeChat or WhatsApp or Facebook, but many times we might be communicating with people. We may see the news page of various friends. And what I've come to try to practice is, as I see needs in the lives of different people that I know, to take time and pray for them. Sometimes they may request prayer, but many times they're not even requesting prayer, but I can sense that they have a need for prayer. And so I'll just take a few minutes just to pray for them. And so this integrates prayer into my life. Pray for one another, James 5:16. We're called to confess our sins and to pray for one another. And so that is something that we can do again in the midst, in the context of our church body, in the context of our family, in the context of meeting together with brothers and sisters throughout the week. And then finally, we can pray for one another's needs. Oftentimes, health concerns are something that that we can pray for one another. And one thing that I've actually kind of tried to discipline myself on is when I hear an ambulance and I might be driving along the road, of course, I want to kind of pull over a little bit to let it through. But I also oftentimes now I try to pray. I don't know the circumstance. I don't know what's happening. But I pretty much know that if an ambulance is called somewhere, it's probably not good. You know, someone might be suffering a heart attack. There might be an accident. You know, whatever it is, I'll just, you know, send a quick prayer to God and say and ask the Lord to intervene in the situation and to heal and to give comfort to the people that are affected. And so I think these are just some ways that we can begin to integrate prayer more and more into our life, becoming people of prayer, becoming more devoted to prayer. And there's so many different ways that we can pray. We can pray for revival and widows and children, and we pray in an attitude of thanksgiving. All these different aspects of prayer we can and should integrate into our life, seeking to become more and more devoted in our walk with God and in our prayer life, and becoming men and women, people of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this challenge. It's a short challenge by the Apostle Paul. And I think most of us, if we think about our prayer life, I think we all might say we can improve in some way or another. So, Lord, as we seek you this week, Lord, help us to integrate prayer more and more into our life, being watchful and thankful and giving all the praise and glory to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.